I don't remember when I heard the whole story of Prahlad and Nrisingadev, but I did get a letter from Srila Prabhupada very soon after I joined the Boston Temple, in which he mentioned Prahlad. When I met Srila Prabhupada, I was a university student. And after graduation, I joined the temple. And my father wrote Srila Prabhupada a letter saying that my son is a good student and he should continue his education. So Srila Prabhupada wrote me saying, I've received a letter from your father which is enclosed, which speaks for itself. And I guess my father had mentioned psychology and philosophy, and so Srila Prabhupada said, of course, our subject is more along the lines of philosophy or theology. So if you go back to the university and establish that Krishna consciousness is the postgraduate study of all theological conceptions, it will be a great contribution. So when I got the letter, I was somewhat confused. And I took the letter to the temple president, Satsvarupa Das, and asked him, you know, is Srila Prabhupada saying that I must do this, or is he saying that if I like, I can do it? And Satsvarupa Das Adhikari then said, I don't know. You have to ask him. So I said, actually, I don't want to go back to school. You know, I just want to stay in the temple and be with the devotees and go on Sankirtan. So he said, okay, you can write Srila Prabhupada that if you're instructing me to go back to school, then I will do it gladly. But if you're giving me the choice, then I will prefer to stay in the temple with the devotees and go on Sankirtan. So I wrote Srila Prabhupada and, you know, waited with some apprehension for his reply, and then his letter came. Yes, there is no need for any further education. When Prahlad's father asked him what is the best education, Prahlad replied that devotional service to Krishna is the best education. And when Ramananda Rai was discussing, or when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was discussing with Ramananda Rai, who is the most educated person, the answer was given that he who is knowledgeable in Krishna consciousness is the most educated person. So there is no need for any more school. Which, especially in the light of Jayadwaita Swami's brilliant placement of the story of Prahlad and Hiranyakasipu in the context of the times, suited me very well. Very well. And then I really learned the story when we performed a drama. The Sunday programs in Boston, probably everywhere in the movement then, were really something special. And part of the Sunday program was to put on a play. And sometimes the plays were written by devotees with some, it could have some humor to it and with some, you know, principle of Krishna consciousness. Or it could be an adaptation of some story from scripture. And so one Sunday we were to do the story of Prahlad and Hiranyakasipu and Nrisingadev. And I was given the role of Lord Brahma, who was, petitioned by Hiranyakasipu to give him various boons. And it was actually in response to Lord Brahma's boons that Hiranyakasipu thought, now I'm immortal, because he placed so many conditions. He asked to become immortal, but Lord Brahma said, I myself am not immortal, so I cannot make you immortal. So then he tried indirectly. Okay, I don't want to be killed, you know, during the day or night, granted. Not inside the building or outside the building, granted. Not on the land, not on the sea, not in the air, granted. Not by any human being or demigod or beast, granted. So many boons he requested, and Lord Brahma gave them all. Now, in my neophyte condition, I played the role of Lord Brahma in a little bit of a comical way. Not grossly comical, but just a little, with a little bit of a tinge of humor. But of course, understated humor can be even funnier. And people were laughing, and I thought, wow, you know, I've got a great future here. I thought, wow, I really have a talent here. But fortunately, afterwards, Satsarupa Maharaj, who's like such a serious devotee and so sincere, he corrected me. And he said, Lord Brahma is our original guru. You know, he's like the first created being in the universe. He's not a comical figure. He's actually very serious. And I was very chastened by that and grateful that he corrected me. But I'll come to a verse that Srila Prabhupada quoted to his Guru Maharaj in appreciation of his Guru Maharaj. And I read the verse before we had the seventh canto. And now I'll read it to you because it's a very beautiful verse and purport. And tonight there are some devotees who will be officially accepted in the disciplic succession coming from Srila Prabhupada through the process of initiation, and His Holiness Ratatvaja Swami will say much more about that soon. But I will read this verse from Prahlad's prayers to Lord Nrisingadev after, of course, Lord Nrisingadev appeared from the pillar and killed Hiranyakasipu. And he was so angry. Everyone was afraid to approach him. All the demigods, great sages, and saintly persons, they were all there. But they were all afraid to approach him. But Prahlad, because of his purity and the Lord's mercy upon him, he approached the Lord and spoke many beautiful prayers. So this one is Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9. Canto 7, Chapter 9. Prahlad pacifies the Lord with prayers. Text 28. I'll say the Sanskrit, it's purifying. Evam janam na patitam prabhavahiku pe kama bikama manuya prapatan prasangat kritva masat surasina bhagavan grahita soham katanu visrije tava vritya sevam. Translation. My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, because of my association with material desires, one after another, I was gradually falling into a blind well full of snakes, following the general populace. But your servant Narada Muni kindly accepted me as his disciple and instructed me how to achieve this transcendental position. Therefore, my first duty is to serve him. How could I leave his service? Now, this was spoken by Prahlad Maharaj when he was in the presence of the Lord. He was addressing the Lord personally. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As will be seen in later verses, even though Prahlad Maharaj was directly offered all the benedictions he might have desired, he refused to accept such offerings from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. On the contrary, he asked the Lord to engage him in the service of his servant, Narada Muni. This is the symptom of a pure devotee. One should serve the spiritual master first. It is not that one should bypass the spiritual master and desire to serve the Supreme Lord. This is not the principle for a Vaishnav. Narottam Das Thakur says, Tandera Charana Sevi Bhakta Sanevas Janame Janame Hai E Abhilas. One should not be anxious to offer direct service to the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised that one become a servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. Who knows this? The Sanskrit. Yes. Gopi Bhartu Padakamalayor Dasa Dasa Anudasa. This is the process for approaching the Supreme Lord. The first service should be rendered to the spiritual master, so that by his mercy one can approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead to render service. While teaching Rupa Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. One can achieve the seed of devotional service by the mercy of the Guru, the spiritual master, and then by the mercy of Krishna. This is the secret of success. First, one should try to please the spiritual master. And then one should attempt to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also says, Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado. One should not attempt to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead by concoction. One must first be prepared to serve the spiritual master. And when one is qualified, he is automatically offered the platform of direct service to the Lord. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj proposed that he engage in the service of Narada Muni. He never proposed that he engage directly in the service of the Lord. This is the right conclusion. Therefore, he said, Soham katam nu vrishaje tavavritya sevam. How can I give up the service of my spiritual master, who has favored me in such a way that I am now able to see you face to face? Prahlad Maharaj prayed to the Lord that he might continue to engage in the service of his spiritual master, Narada Muni. Hare Krishna. So, the way Prahlad Maharaj depicts himself in this verse very accurately describes our position before we met Srila Prabhupada or came in touch with his devotees or books. Devotees and books. Because of my association with material desires, one after another, I was gradually falling into a blind well full of snakes, following the general populace. So, in a way, this body is like a well in which the soul has fallen. And the senses are like snakes. They always want to bite. And so we need to be saved. We cannot get out of a well by our own power or strength. We need someone to save us. And that is the spiritual master. Narada Muni for Prahlad Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada and his followers for us. But once in Bombay, one disciple approached Srila Prabhupada that Srila Prabhupada, please give me your mercy that I may follow your instructions. And Srila Prabhupada made such a face of disgust. He said, my mercy is given to you in the form of my instructions. He said, it's as if a person is in a well, and someone comes and puts a rope down into the well to pull him up. And the person in the well is praying, please cause my fingers to curl around the rope and hold on to it. I have given you the instructions. If you hold on to them, I will take you out of the well of material existence and take you back to Godhead. Once Srila Prabhupada said, just hold on to my dhoti and I will take you back to Godhead. So this is our process. And that process involves two kinds of instructions. I mean, ultimately it's one kind, but two kinds. One are positive injunctions and the other are negative prohibitions. Sometimes people just like the positive injunctions, like chant, dance, take prasad, and be happy. But there are also prohibitions. And those prohibitions are necessary for us to become liberated from our material condition. And sometimes those prohibitions may not seem very palatable to our sense gratification. Just yesterday I was listening to a lecture of Srila Prabhupada's, and I couldn't believe it. I listened to it twice, started to listen to it twice, but he was like so explicit. I mean, just like really clear about what we do and what we don't do. You know, who are crows who poke around the garbage of sense gratification, and who are swans who absorb themselves in Srimad Bhagavatam, in Krishna consciousness. So in the course of his talk, he mentioned one young lady who had revolted against the regulative principles. He couldn't remember her name. He said, "Who was that?" And then one of the devotees supplied the name. Yes. From the beginning, she was complaining about the regulative principles. Swamiji, they're too strict. Why do you force us to follow the regulative principles? You know, please make some concession. And eventually, as Srila Prabhupada related it on the tape, eventually he said, you know, these are our principles. I'm sorry that you don't like them. And given that you don't like them, it's probably better that you leave our company, because we cannot change our principles. Now, I mention this not to frighten anyone or discourage anyone, but to make the point that guru is heavy. This knowledge is heavy. And if we really want to serve our spiritual masters and approach the lotus feet of Krishna, we have to pay a price. And the price is we have to give up sense gratification. Now, of course, there's material sense gratification and spiritual sense gratification. So it's not as stark as it might appear from the words. For example, Gurudas Prabhu, he used to like to play the kartels, but he was sort of concerned, so he asked Srila Prabhupada, I'm afraid I'm falling into sense gratification playing the kartels. And Srila Prabhupada said, well, there's two kinds of sense gratification, material and spiritual. You're playing the kartels and the kirtan for the pleasure of Krishna, so that's spiritual. So everything is included in Krishna consciousness. And is accepted in Krishna consciousness as long as it's done under the guidance of the spiritual master. In our case, Srila Prabhupada in particular, and his servants and representatives. And when we think, when I think, or when we think, where we were before we met Srila Prabhupada or came into touch with his devotees and movement and literature, and where we are now, it's such a tremendous gulf of difference. It's like day and night. And when we think that it's ultimately because of Shiva Prabhupada, of course he had the order of his guru and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he was the one who came at that advanced age of, he arrived in America at the age of 70 after suffering two heart attacks at sea. And we should feel such an immense debt of gratitude that we can never repay it. And therefore, we just want to serve him eternally. And of course, serving him eternally means serving his spiritual master, serving the parampara, serving the panchatattva, serving Radhakalachandji. But under his guidance and by his mercy. So the candidates who are coming forward to be initiated are very fortunate souls. You know, as Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Beed, it's only by great fortune that someone comes to devotional service by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. And they have proven themselves to be sincere enough and steady enough to come to this point where they really want to surrender their lives to Krishna through parampara. And it is extremely auspicious for them and for all of us. There is a statement in Chaitanya Bhagavat how when the devotees were preaching and someone else became a devotee, they said that now the transcendental family is increasing. And that is an occasion of great joy. So, and all of you are not just passive witnesses, you're actually active participants, because your prayers and good wishes and blessings and ongoing support to the new initiates will sustain them in their spiritual lives. One thing that was extraordinary about Srila Prabhupada is that he came to America all alone. I mean, he had Krishna and the order of his guru and Chaitanya Charitamrita, his Bhagavatams, but he was alone. But none of us can do that. None of us are so strong that we can survive in Krishna consciousness alone. Srila Prabhupada quoted the story from Aesop's Fables of the father who had a a bunch of thin sticks. And he gave a stick to each of his sons. They easily broke it. They gave him so many sticks, they easily broke. But then he took a whole bunch of sticks and put them together in one bundle, bound together, and asked them to break it, and they couldn't break it. So that was the point, that alone we're very slender, we're very weak, we can be broken very easily. But if we stay together in a bunch on the basis of Krishna consciousness, then no one can break us. You know, we'll be protected. So sometimes it's said that it takes a whole village to raise a child. So this is like our village, Radhakala Chanji Dham. And so you're all, you know, we're all like collectively responsible to help these youngsters from in terms of initiation, young, to develop and mature in devotional service. And we should, I address the new initiates too, we should also value the good wishes and advice of the elders. I remember years ago when the movement was going through so many difficulties, His Holiness Jayadvaita Swami said, "The problem with ISKCON is we have no grandmothers." We were all young. But now this generation, they have grandmothers, they have grandfathers. I'm also part of the village. I also depend on all of you. Please continue to support each other, support all of us, we'll all mature together in Krishna consciousness, and that will be very pleasing to Srila Prabhupada and our parampara. No parent likes to see his or her children fighting. Very painful for them. And it also gives Srila Prabhupada and all of our devotees pain when we fight for nothing. We should stay together and serve Guru and Krishna happily together, and especially on this auspicious occasion where we worship Lord Nrisimhadeva, and particularly his mercy upon his devotee Prahlad. And so we pray to Nrisimhadeva to vanquish the little Hiranyakasipus we have in our hearts. I mean, I don't know about you, but and protect the little Prahlads that we have within our heart, so he can mature and give shelter to many more souls. Hare Krishna.
Mm-hmm.